Amen. Let me start with the theme today. Let me start this sermon, this specific sermon, with the theme. The theme for today is this. I have it up there for you. We don't live by the world's moral conduct. Christian ought to be immoral to the world. We don't live by the world's moral conduct. Code of conduct. Christians ought to be immoral to the world. Like you and I, we are immoral. We are called to be immoral, to live immoral lives. I can see your faces. Everybody's like, ah, that's not who I am, Pastor Sam. Dad, you have this confused. No, I want to make a point for you here today that we the Bible expects us to live immorally to the world. Let's go this way. Let me define for you the word immoral, okay? Let me define the word immoral. To define the word immoral is this: violating moral principles, not conforming to the pattern of conduct usually accepted or established as consistent with principles of personal and social ethics. Let me read that again for you. This is a definition from dictionary.com, and another dictionary that I have up there for you is the Cambridge Dictionary. They both define the word the same way: violation, morally wrong or outside society's standards of acceptable, honest, and moral behavior. That which is outside of what society thinks. Here's what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2, we read this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do you see a correlation between Romans chapter 12 and the definition of immoral? Let me put it that again for you. So that's do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed, right? Can I have the first definition again, Ethan, of what it means to be immoral? Immoral is violating the moral principles, not conforming to the patterns of conduct usually accepted or established as consistent with the principles of personal and social ethics. We, Christians, we are called not to conform to the pattern of personal and social ethics of this world. We ought to live in a different moral ethics that Jesus Christ has taught us, and it is clear in the Word of God through the Bible. If I haven't made your mind quite yet, let me start with the first point. The first point is this: we live in a post-Christian culture. We live in a world today that is post-Christian. Let me give you three examples right now of what's going on in that shows us how post-Christian the world is right now for us. Do you know who Chuck Todd is from NBC? Okay. Side note. I forgot to do this in the beginning. Side note. Step out. Here's the sermon. Here's Sam's side note. Okay. This is not a political statement. This is not a political. I have no. I don't really care what you stand on politically. That's not my job to influence your political view. My job as the pastor, it is to help you understand what Jesus has for you and for me and for the church. So whatever I say, I might use the word liberal or the word conservative. I am not talking about political views. I'm talking about moral in relation to morality. If people are liberal or conservative. I there is nothing to do with your political view, okay? I respect that. You make your choice, and that's fine with me as your pastor. Okay? Sounds good? Not a political statement. Not interested in that. Biblical statement. Okay. Back to it. Chuck Todd, he sent a tweet out on Good Friday, and the tweet said this: I'm a bit hokey when it comes to Good Friday. I don't mean to disrespect the religious, but disrespect it, religious aspect of the day, but I love the idea of reminding folks that any day can become good. All it takes is a little selflessness on our part. Works every time. Poking in Christianity, making fun of Christianity, and the guy doesn't really understand at all what Good Friday is all about. Example of being made fun of is, you probably follow this, in the Ville, Joy Behar, one of the hosts there, makes fun and mocks Christian faith, right? How many of you guys ran through that or heard about that? They're debating something there, and Mike Pence says that he talks to Jesus and that Jesus talks to him, and that Jesus guides him on how he thinks and what he says. She looks to the rest of the people and to all of those watching the TV that morning and say, Christianity, it is a mental health issue. To hear from God, to hear God's word, to hear someone speaking to you, to hear God speak to you, it is a mental health issue. To hear God speaking to us today, Christians have been doing that for centuries and centuries. Now it is called mental health. One of the shows that many of us watch on TV is American Idol right now, and one of those episodes, this kid who grew up in a conservative family, morally conservative family, he goes in there and they're making a joke about him kissing a girl, and he says, I have never kissed someone. I'm saving myself for my first girlfriend, for the one I'm going to marry. I'm saving that first kiss. It's sacred. I'm saving that to my wedding day. They all looked at him like, what in the world? What are you thinking, boy? This is like weird. This is immoral to think that you're going to save that. That's not reality. That's not good. The kid, I grew up believing in that and living by that. So Kate Perry asked him, hey, would you give me at least a kiss on my cheek? And the kid was like, oh, yes, ma'am, I'll do that. So when he went to kiss her in her cheek, she turned and stole his first kiss. See, we live in a post-Christian culture where to live by Christian moral standard, it's not that cool thing. It is immoral to the world. You and I, we ought to be immoral to the world. We ought to do what Paul calls us to do, is not to conform to the pattern, to the conduct of this world, but to live differently. And to live differently, to not conform, by definition, it is to be immoral. Jesus, in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 20, tells us this: if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you: a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. See, we live in the world that have persecuted Jesus and continue to persecute his disciples. And Jesus was warning the 12 disciples, and he's warning us today. Culture Christianity, which some call Christendom, is dead. Christianity is on the decline, but that doesn't mean we ought to disengage. Study shows that Christianity in the U.S. is in the decline. The study numbers shows that the nones, those who doesn't have any affiliations with any religion, is growing. And those who are done, the dons, they call it, those who are done with religion, is also in the rise. They're all rising, it is rising. And so therefore, changing the times in America. As I was studying the last week, I brought two different studies, one from Pew's research and one from Gallup's research. I brought those up because they're not Christian researches. It is easy to go to Barna Institute and get some Christian bias results from the statistic, but it's another thing when you're studying statistics from the world itself, right? You got a good time on what the world is thinking. So a Pew study demonstrated the 8% point drop in those calling themselves Christians. We used to be 78%, now we're 70%. The same study shows the percentage of Americans who are religiously affiliated, describing themselves as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, has jumped more than 6 points, from 16 to 22% increase. I think these statistics from Pew's research demonstrate clearly that cultural Christianity is losing ground, numbers, and influence in the United States of America. This is not necessarily good news for America, because I believe that such declines come with some consequences. Right? One of the consequences for you and I is the fact that Christianity now, it is an irrelevant thing to the world. Christians as irrelevant. We have become and we are becoming the minority. And that's a problem for us. We are not used to feel like marginalized, sidelined and as a minority. As Christians in America, we have been told that we possess ultimate and absolute truth. We are used to government that at least to a large extent subscribes to an ethical code that generally is called Christian. We are used to live in a Christianized culture, even though not everybody's Christian. We are used to that. But it's clear, and I'm going to show you through some more research, that we need to learn to deal with a world that does not agree with the Christian point of view any longer. The world is so pluralistic that sometimes we need just to understand other ideologies out there and learn how to respond to it in a way that is biblical. Give you a couple of examples here. I have it for you from the Gallup 2016 Gallup research put an article out stating that Americans, that's the title, Americans remain pessimist about the state of moral values. When you depart from Christianity, you depart from moral values, and people know that. So the research says this: Americans remain far more likely to say the state of moral values in the U.S. is getting worse than to say it is getting better. Over a 15-year trend, solid majorities have consistently viewed the direction of the country's values negatively, ranging from 67% in 2002 and 2003 to 82% in 2007, and that remains to be the case today. That's what the study is showing. The study goes on to say, in the line with their pessimist about the direction of moral values in this country, U.S. adults are much more likely to describe the current state of moral values as poor, only fair, than to say it is excellent. Look at the percentage. The world itself is saying, because Christianity is no longer influencing us, we are declining morally. Wow, the world itself knows what's going on with the world when Christianity, it is no longer the norm, the cool thing to be or to do. In a Pew poll, 72% of Americans felt that religion was losing influence in American life. And 56 of those people thought that the lost influence was a negative for the country. A Pew research that asked people in the world, not in the church out there, hey, the church is losing influence. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? They all say, that's a bad thing. We need the church. We need more Christian influence in the world because our moral values are going down. This is not a Christian people telling us this. This is the world telling the world that the church is valuable. One of the major consequences of the decline of Christian influence in the culture is the decline of morality. In another Gallup research called American Hold Record Liberal Views on Most Moral Issues that was out in 2017, March of 2017, we've seen an increase in acceptability in moral values that used to be crucial for society in general, which are completely unbiblical. Look what this research says. So Americans continue to express an increase. This is in 2017 of last year, so it's pretty fresh research. Americans continue to express an increasingly liberal outlook on what is morally acceptable in their views on 10 of 19 moral issues that Gallup measures are the most left-leaning or permissive they have been to date. There is the list of there. The first one has to do with sexuality. right? There was an increase in 23% in acceptability of what it is not sexually biblically. The idea of male or female, now it is not only what is acceptable. Homosexuality has skyrocketed, 23% more acceptability of that than ever before. The next one is divorce. 16% of increase on divorce. People are thinking like, no, that's a good thing to do. We accept that. It used to be that in the church and outside the church, divorce was like not talked about, but now it's like accepted. I know life is it's not easy. I've been married for 15 years. Laura and I have almost got divorced 3 times, all her fault. Let me put it that way. I am good guy, perfect. It's not true. Well, maybe. No, yeah, I know life is tough, but to accept it is differently. Polygamy, 10%. How is that? How can you increase in accepting polygamy? Right? The next one. Doctor-assisted suicide, 8%. 8% increase to 23% increase overall. The last one that I brought it up for you, that was 19. I wasn't going to bring the whole thing. That is pornography. 6% increase on acceptability. Accepting pornography as a good thing, as the thing. Do you know that the Generation Z, the young kids right now, they're more likely to watch porn and think that that is good than cartoons? It's just a norm thing. I know I am biased. I believe the more secular, less Christian America will become, the less moral, less exceptional, less philanthropic, and more self-centered, more self-absorbed, and more disconnected we will be. See, but I'm not only biased. I read the researches from the world, and I'm telling you, the decline of Christian influence in the world, in our culture, have caused us to be made fun of, ridiculed, mocked, marginalized, and called immorals. Because we just can't accept these and many others. See, to live against that, counterculture to that, it is to be immoral to the world. And if it is immorality that I need to live on and you too, so be it. We will be immoral. Amen? Yes, that's what we are called when we live counteractive to the increase in acceptability to the world moral standards. We are called immoral. Christians are no longer seen as cool, honorable, acceptable, but we are called bigots, hatred, judgmental, old-fashioned, closed-minded, a cult, lack of tolerance, and the list goes on and on and on because we want to live by what Jesus Christ taught us in the Word of God, through the Word of God. It seems a little pessimist, right? Is the sermon pessimist right now? Like, man, this is not cool to be a Christian right now. Like, you know, here, let me tell you, there's a blast from the past. I think that we need to look at the past a little bit to find some encouragement. And I want you to be encouraged here today because to live in a post-Christian culture, it is not a bad thing. The Bible and history tells us that the church grew stronger when we're being persecuted, when it was not the norm. When we were not the cool thing, the honorable thing to do. In Acts, it's clear. If you go read the book of Acts, I could spend hours and hours just reading from Acts to you here about how the church was persecuted, and because of the persecution, the church grew. Acts is clear to tell us that Christianity once started as a small group with only a few members, and they were considered immoral. Remember that? The early Christians lived as a small group in an unstable, pluralistic world. All these Christians spread across the Mediterranean world. They were not aggressive people. They were not think of culture wars. They were not demanding their rights or had no opportunity to live in the protected Christian subculture of today. And even though they lived morally right to the Romans, they were called immoral. They were burned to the stake. They were thrown into the games as criminals. They were crucified as criminals for living righteous and just lives. It was just this morning, I was eating breakfast with Anna, my 7-year-old, and my kids usually ask me on a Sunday morning, "Dad, what are you preaching today?" And we were talking, and I was like, "Well, I'm preaching about how being a Christian today is not a cool thing." That's what our dad is preaching today. And she was like, "Well, being a Christian has never been a cool thing, Dad." And I was like, wait a second. That's what we were, right? 60, 70s, 80s, 90s. This is the thing to be is Christian. Everybody was being a Christian, right? Like, it is still kind of cool to be a Christian when Snoop Dogg come out saying, "I'm a Christian." I don't know if you know that Snoop Dogg just came out with a gospel album saying that he's a Christian. I take his word for it. I don't know. I shouldn't have gone there, but Anna and me, breakfast. Cool, not a cool thing. It's like, wait. Of course it is a cool thing, girl. And like in the 70s there, she's like, "No, but isn't that when like the Jesus disciple was being killed and burned?" Back a little bit, I took her and the boys to watch the Paul movie. I don't know if you got the opportunity to watch that movie, Paul and there Christians are being, like, it showed the whole thing. Guys getting on fire, you know, Christian being crucified and all that. So she watched that. She's like, "Wasn't that when it happened?" I'm like, "In the 80s? No. That was, like, a long before that, right? Way before that. In the 80s was a good thing, right? 90s and early 2000s. And she's like, "Oh, okay. But here's the truth is that, really, I think she's right. Christian has never been the cool thing. Go back to the past. During the Christians, they were not, even though they were suffering, they were not intimidated by the pluralistic world that Rome was. Nor they were taken aback by the many gods that were worshipped in the empire. Nor were they afraid of the persecution and the mockery. No, they were not. Yet, mere 300 years later, their message had overthrown the power of the mighty and Rome and the Roman Empire. And eventually, Christianity became the thing in the empire. Remember that? So we are not very different, living in a very different world than the people in the first century was. Of course, we're not being thrown into the animals to be eaten, but we are being mocked and persecuted and many made fun of and called names as they were. So there is not all new thing what we call post-Christian culture, because it resembles the pre-Christendom world. Pre-Christendom, I might be killing the word Christendom there, but it was the era before Constantine, when the church was small and unconventional and marginal and persecuted. This was before the church became the mainstream and accessible and synonymous with an honorable and virtuous thing. We find ourselves right here today in the 21st century in a similar place as the church was at the time of Constantine era that demanded that the church was unconventional and marginalized. But I would like to encourage you today by the fact that the church grew stronger when it was not cool or normal. It was under the oppression, the mockery, and the persecution that Christians lived with courage like never before, lived with compassion and convictions which led them to live positively and confidentially, regardless of the persecution they faced and they took on the world. We are Christians today because in the first century, the Christian that was being persecuted and mocked stood up for their faith and fought for God, for Jesus. Not fought with arms or weapons or ideology, but fought with their own personal lives. By not giving in, but standing for their faith. Because they knew that we are obligated to go out and engage the world. Romans chapter 1 verse 14 tells us this. Paul tells us, tells the church, the Roman church, to say, like, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks. Paul was, he didn't have a choice. He wasn't choosing between Greeks or non-Greeks, Jews or Gentiles. No, he was there to minister to all. And we as the church, we are to participate in the same mentality, the same call of Paul, that we are here to, that we are obligated to both Christians and non-Christians, to Muslim, to atheist, to agnostic, to supporter of different worldviews. We are here for them also. We are under the obligation to provide to them the message of the gospel, because we recognize the dangers they are in living against godly principles. We are surrounded by Muslim, atheists, Gnostics, supporters of many religions and worldview, and we are given this like in-world advice that, you know what, if the world is persecuting you, church, you retrieve, you stay on your own little corner. You're not to go anymore. You stay right here, because to go out there is dangerous. You're going to be made fun of it, and your self-confidence will diminish. And your faith will be attacked, so now you're gonna feel bad about yourself. And now we got to start this pity party, because, like, we are Christians, and people are calling us bigots because we stand for biblical principles. And they're calling us judgmental because we are standing for what Jesus has called us to stand. And we got this little pity, like this little pity party, and we're sitting there, and we're like, oh, so let's take care of our own spiritual life. We're gonna read the Bible more, we're gonna pray more, and we're gonna live right here on this Christian bubble. So we surround ourselves with Christian friends and family, and we are like, we're gonna stay right here, because our obligation to go out to the world, heck no, it's too dangerous out there. We're gonna stay right here, and we're gonna, you pray for me, I pray for you. We use that language that we all know so well, and we are right here and living in a Christian bubble. We forget the Christian in the first century, it doesn't matter what they're going to. They were going through all the world and Samaria. You're a Christian today because Christians in the first century paid the price and died for the gospel. They weren't living in the Christian bubble. They lived out so that you could be a Christian today. We revert to this Christian bubble, and in that Christian bubble, we're like, oh, now we got all these Christian books, and we have this intellectual supremacy. Right? We know the truth, and we have this absolute truth, and we're going to read it and get as much as we know, and we have this knowledge. And then we engage the world with this, like with this mental supremacy that we tend to enter the public arena ready to slash the perceived enemy with arguments that offer superior support to the sole correct worldview, namely Christianity. Some Christians think that pure force of logic is going to convince the world that Christianity is the only option. We gain all these ideas so that we can debate people with argument to win logical arguments, because we think we're going to convince them. I remember Jesus saying this, that people will know you, that you are my disciple by what? By what? By what? By love. People will know that you are my disciple by love. Not by your mental intellectuality or how smart or how logic you are. No, Jesus said it is through love that people will know that you are my disciple. So we go to the bubble, we get smarter as a Christian. And then we, if those two things doesn't get us to win in the debate or the circumstances, so now we do, we declare war on culture. And then we say, man, if we have more power, if we have people in supreme places, we can legislate and enforce upon others the law that we deem Christian. And when you are, and so then now we want to be the bosses, because when you are the boss, you can make people bow down to the Christian's ideal and to you and to what you want them to do, right? I think this approach betrays the Christ who taught us that his followers to go into the world as sheep among wolves and bless rather than to dominate. I think that's the result of many of the criticism that we face today, is this idea that we ought to be better than the world. See, when we revert to Christian bubble, when we revert to intellectual supremacy or declaring war on culture, we are telling the world that we are better than them. We are better, so we withdraw into our subculture, and we are better intellectually, and we are better, and so we grab on power. But I think there's a better way forward. I think that, as my last point for you, I think there is a better way forward. We cannot be overcome by fear. We ought to depend on God and have confidence that Christ will build us his church despite the continued marginalization and oppression that we feel. It doesn't matter what the world calls us, if they call us moral or immoral, it doesn't matter. The reality is that God is building his church and we will be stronger than ever before. Persecution didn't stop God in the first century, second, third, fourth, fifth, and on and on and on. We're in the 21st century. Persecution will not stop us today. Jesus tells us that nothing can withstand us, right? Not even the what? The gates of what? Of hell can stop the church. Because greater is the one who is in us than the one who is in the world. As Christians, we ought to be different. We ought to stand for what we believe. But there are right ways of engaging a post-Christian culture. And there is wrong ways too in doing it. But I would like for the next several weeks for us to learn from Jesus on how to engage a culture that is hostile and becoming more and more hostile to his disciples and Jesus' moral and ethics and life. We will be studying for the next few weeks the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mountain together, which is a moral portrait of Jesus' own people. I would like for us, through this sermon series, to become, in real life, the portrait Jesus sketched in the Beatitudes, in the process, influence the world around us. I didn't do this in the first service, but I would like to do it right here and right now. I would love to read the Beatitudes for you as I close this sermon. Matthew chapter 5 says this, Seeing the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And Jesus said, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If we ought to withstand against the oppression, injustice, criticism we face for being Christian, we ought to learn from Jesus because he tells us on John 16:33. In the world, you have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Let's pray.